Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Family in Distress. This is a very special episode. I am your host today, Robin Lynn, and today we have Man Up with Judge Joe Brown. Judge Joseph Brown, raised in South Central Los Angeles, Brown graduated at the top of his class at Dorsey High School, then earned a bachelor's degree in political science, and in 1973, a Juris Doctor degree at UCLA. While attending law school, Brown worked as a substitute teacher. He is a member of Alpha Phi Alpha fraternity. Brown became the first African-American prosecutor in the city of Memphis. He would later open his own law practice before becoming a judge on the state criminal court of Shelby County, Tennessee. Judge Joe Brown is well known for his syndicated show, Judge Joe Brown, an American arbitration-based reality court show that premiered on September 14, 1998, and ran through the 2012-2013 television season. Now, there's a special book offer, There Will Always Be Another Day. Order on Author House, price $17.95. And also, Family in Distress serves men, women, and children in all areas of life, including mentoring, coaching, and development. It is our goal to provide the whole community spirit and bring resolution to violent situations, national disaster through FIDCORPS, communities organized to respond to emergencies, as well as working with educational entities in mentoring children and parents in the community. I invite you to support the vision of the foundation by purchasing a copy of this book written by Cheryl White, the founder. We are a 501c3 organization, and your gift is tax deductible. Please visit www.familyindistress.org to learn more about who we are, or call 305-316-3772 and talk to our vice president, author Pastor Alan Holt. Judge Joe, are you there?
The judge is in the house.
How are you doing today, sir?
All right, ma'am. I'm doing fine.
Awesome. I'm doing great. I'm so excited. And today we've got the topic, Man Up. Yeah, so I cannot wait to hear from you. What is it? What is the urgency for men to man up?
Well, young ladies need a husband. And if you don't have boys learning how to man up, you won't find men to marry them. Children need fathers. Communities need leadership. And the country needs that driving force that masculinity can only provide. Only masculinity can provide. We've got a national problem here. The Defense Department has even noted it, and that is over the last decade, if you include all races and ethnicities in the country in the mix, unfortunately, each year the graduating classes are only about 28% male.
Yes.
The undergrads in the country at public and private universities and colleges, four-year types, it's basically just 32% of the student body is male, and for grad students, it's only 36% of the grad students in the country are male. So what is going down is that the masculine support of what the country has done about it has gone down, since our position in the world to a great extent depends upon what happens education-wise, and a lot of things else that we find the masculine component somewhat sorely lacking in these days. It's an approach. We have not a concentration on what someone that is elected to represent us is doing in that job description that we have given the person in terms of, do they lead well? Is the economy okay? We pay attention to what used to be last page in a newspaper, the gossip column type stuff, and media reports as though it was most interested in being a tabloid rather than in a newspaper. So we don't get news, we get scammed. And it seems the media takes great pride not in assisting in the governance process, but finding some generally sex-related scandal that they can take somebody down.
Yeah.
To the deplorable state of affairs. Deplorable.
Mm-hmm.
So, I have been in this Lifetime Man Up campaign either as a beneficiary of it on my early years or as trying to conduct it in my later ones. As a matter of fact, today I went to take the trash out. Somebody dropped off of the truck and said, "Judge, do you remember me?" I said, "No, I don't." He said, "Well, you gave me some time." I said, "Did you? Did I give you enough?"
Yeah.
But you got me on that thing about man up and how to be a man, so now I'm working.
Mm-hmm.
I'm supporting everybody. I'm responsible for supporting. I got a lot of gray in my hair now, because that was back in 1992.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to do the right thing these days, thanks to you.
Yes, yes.
So it worked.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. We lack this component.
You have to do that.
And the country has taken a turn that is kind of strange. Nationwide, the military, again, is concerned about this,
mm-hmm.
because they basically deal with a lot of young men and with young women, too, in what they try to prepare to defend the country. And they know that they're having a problem with finding recruits that are sufficiently mentally tough.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, they're correlating the circumstance that for Americans 35 and under, 42% of them were born out of wedlock.
Wow.
And that doesn't speak well for the family institution. And then when they talk about those who are 35 years of age and under who were born in the 50 largest cities, it works out that 74% of them were born out of wedlock, and when you get the top 25 cities, it's 82%.
Mm-hmm.
So something's happened to the family, and I suspect a great deal of it has come from the emphasis of the masculine component. I note that about 4 years ago, there was a trend around the country, supposedly make sure nobody was cheating on welfare, to look at the women that were in Section 8 or welfare situation, and if there was a father noted as coming around, they cut the woman's check off. So you got that incentive to keep fathers from being involved.
Mm-hmm.
You got a problem with a lot of juvenile courts, especially like those here in Shelby County, Tennessee, where they didn't care whether or not somebody actually was the father. They just, if you feed him long enough, he'll look just like you. And that was in the days before DNA.
Mm-hmm.
Test. And a lot of men became very resentful. And then you started getting the product of these homes that never had a father involved in it, a grandfather or an uncle or even a conscientious boyfriend. And you started getting boys who grew up with the idea that they should become dependent upon the opposite sex for their support, and you hear it, "Yo, how do you support yourself? Yo, man, like I got 3-4 babies, take good care of me. They get me everything I need."
Wow.
They cry, "What I do to take care of me? I got a full woman. She got a real nice place down here in the trailer park. She take care of me."
Wow.
So it's because of this lack of masculine componentry that you get the would-be young men with the idea that they are dependent and they should depend upon some woman who gets the check or the employment, and they no longer become productive members of society. We have seen the morphing of our criminal justice system from something that deals with criminal justice and the control of crime into something more concerned with control of surplus labor.
Hmm.
And by that, we have a problem on the national level because our country, unlike just about every other one in the industrial world, does not have a plan or a program to deal with the obsolescence of the ordinary person because of computer and industrial technology being what it is. They're slaves, and that means there are too few jobs for those who would go around to fill those jobs had they had the drive to do so. And we use our penal system as a commodity control. Think of labor as a commodity like wheat, corn, or cotton. You get the idea. When you get a glut in the soybean market, the price of soy beans drop. And what they do is three things. You subsidize the would-be producer, store the surplus, and cut back production. Maybe you'll find an alternative use for it. So what we do with our system is we get these young males who do not get appropriately socialized and acculturated, who drop out, bang out, drug out, get inappropriate attitudes, ideas about the ways of the world, and they no longer become employable. And then when they get arrested, they get put in the jail cell, which is the repository instead of a grain silo.
Yes.
The subsidy is the welfare check, and they don't give that to men, able-bodied men. They give it to women. So you have this group of unemployable males who have only one source of income, generally, outside of crime, and that is dependence upon some female that they can parasitize. So you cut back the production, that's the kids don't get what they need, the subsidies, the welfare check, the grain silo becomes a jail cell, and then the alternative use is that has developed enormous high-growth industry wherein trillions of dollars are made around the country in terms of privatization of great aspects of the penal system or the justice system. Here in Shelby County again, for example, they gave to Correctional Corporation of America the business of doing booking and processing. So it wasn't enough to get the money from booking what we would think of as criminals. They changed it so that if you get a traffic violation, it's no longer a traffic ticket. You get a misdemeanor citation. And not only do you have a court date on the violation for, say, failing to signal on making a turn, rolling stop at a stop sign, what happens to you on the misdemeanor citation? You have to report to be booked, processed, photographed, and fingerprinted, and you've got to pay for it, and the company makes more money.
Wow.
Our juvenile court is completely privatized, and it's the crazy thing going here of the more kids you lock up, the more money the corporation makes. And that's the people that run the place all bought into buying stock. So, you know, it's driven by, let's see what we can do to enhance the number of kids we lock up rather than rehabilitate and set straight.
That's true.
It's a bad thing that we've got going in the country, and we're going to pay for it. And our de-emphasis on education should be looked at in the light of what our recent history has been. Before World War II, we got a lot of new citizens of Jewish extraction who ran from the Nazis. And after World War II, we got a lot of Nazis who came over here and got extradited.
Yeah.
And had a technological leap. And that was backed up by what happened in the 60s when Kennedy said we were going to put a man on the moon before the decade is out, and that made education a national defense priority. We've had a lot of people with a lot of education coming out of the 60s and very early 70s. Now, we've got certain people that got into national office or governorships since then who had thought education was a waste of money, or at least they put it that way. And as a result, our country is no longer at the top of the heap when it comes to educational excellence. And now a high education is priced out of reach of many. We have made it so that it's de-emphasized. And it has become a low priority, but that's why we are at the top of the economic, military, and technological heap on the planet, is because of education, but we've basically thrown it away. So I am worried about that, and that's also a thing that's part of the Man Up campaign. is if you're going to be a man, it's your obligation to be a leader, your obligation to be a provider, your obligation to be a protector. And in order to carry that out, you have to know your environment. And the way to know that in the 20th and 21st century is to be an educated person, or at least as get as much as you are capable of absorbing.
Yes.
Now, we cut that back, and places like the People's Republic of China are going out and basically grabbing hold of everybody they can and saying, whether you like it or not, you're going to get all the education you can absorb. Mm-hmm. And basically now they control and stabilize our currency. They have 78% of the world's manufacturing technology and facility. And we are in a position where I would suggest to any young person, seriously, learn Mandarin Chinese, and if you're a little older, go get a Rosetta Stone and learn it that way. Because that's going to be the lingua de franca, or the language of trade and everything else in a short while.
Wow.
So that's one reason we need to look to it. Also, the safety in our communities.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the late 60s, they had this thing about war is a man thing, so the way to deal with war is to change the way boys were raised to manhood. So instead of boys being laid back, cool, calm, collected, attempting to solve problems and be their steely-eyed selves, the mantra was men need to learn to shout, to emote, to cry, to shout, to let it all hang out and become comfortable with their emotions instead of trying to be so restrained and logical. So I guess that has happened in society, and in the inner cities, barrios, trailer parks, Appalachia, that kind of thing, you see a whole lot of violence that would not have been because the boys don't get taught these masculine things, and they are encouraged to be emotive and out of control.
Yes.
On this show I had for 15 years doing arbitration, I got the constant excuse, but I was emotional. Isn't that an excuse? No, it's not. So,
yeah,
and then we have a problem, general, with there is a lack of understanding of how to parent children in any event, and you compound that by not having a father or a father figure anywhere nearby, and it gets really bad.
Yes,
I guess what's popular these days is from the very early 60s when Dr. Spock came out with that new methodology of raising children.
Yeah.
That I would declare a complete failure. I'm worried about these young people because they are crippled.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have that self-reliance and independence that my generation had.
Mm-hmm.
We left home high income, low income in the morning during the summertime with nothing further than be back when the street lights come on. And if we got in trouble, then we got in trouble where we got in trouble and where we got home.
Yes.
And that meant we're dependent children. Now if a kid 10 years old, 9 years old, walks to a convenience store 3 blocks away, they call him a free-range kid, and people want to lock his parents up for being derelict in their duty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kids can't play in the backyard unless somebody's out there staring at them supervising. And everybody wants to love their children, but they don't understand the first obligation is to turn that child into a grown, healthy, full-fledged, and useful adult.
Yes.
There's the difference.
Yes.
We have a thing where it's very much bad for the masculine development in schools, where we have a competitive world that kids are going to grow up to. But we don't allow competition in school.
Mm-hmm.
We don't allow middle school or junior highs to keep score in a game because somebody may feel their self-esteem threatened if they lose. We don't have student body elections because somebody may not win and everybody gets a prize instead of somebody getting one for excellence.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very bad situation.
That's so true.
Well, Judge Brown, this is... I think you're so right. Judge Brown, this is Pastor Alan Holt. We're so honored to have you here. I'd like to interject a couple things and have you respond to them. based upon some of the points you've already expressed to us. You have clearly identified, you know, some of the contributing factors to our current dilemma or our current crisis when it comes to society, but when it comes to homes as well. What I'd like to hear from you are maybe some recommended resources. What you talked about education being a solution. We all agree that, you know, as you're educated, it creates options and it opens doors for you. But what other solutions are there that might lead toward, you know, helping a young man develop and mature into a full man, which when I'm talking about man, I'm not just talking about the male species here, but I'm talking about a conscious thought level of our people where we begin to develop the type of cognitive skills and the social skills that produce responsibility. What type of resources would you recommend to our listening audience tonight to lead them down that path toward maturity and developing, again, greater cognitive skills, greater social skills, which ultimately lead to better equipped, personally responsible people?
Well, one of the things I'd recommend, if you have a boy, before he gets too old, I'd introduce him to martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
Martial arts has, as part of its program, general program, this thing of self-control, self-knowledge, and self-mastery. That is something that would benefit any boy child. Girls, too.
Mm-hmm.
We need to look to our legislators, and we need to reverse this trend where, absent some common sense in the process, we have gotten into this thing of everybody has to pass these standardized tests. So what we have is rote memorization, and we have nothing about development of cognitive skills.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Nothing at all about developing reasonable and rational analysis of things. And I am very disappointed in the number of youth that I have hired over the years to do things, and they're at the top of their class, but they can't do the task because they lack common sense.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, look, this is law, but any fool can look the law up. We need somebody with common sense, and you don't know anything about the world. We need to do something about that. Arkansas some 20 years ago had a big thing going down here, and parents were upset because they complained that there's children were being taught to be, get this, logical, analytical, reasonable, rational, and critical. So they did not want these things developed in their children.
What?
So somewhere along the line, the blame starts becoming what you see when you brush your teeth in the morning and look in the mirror. We fall right into a trap here in this country that's been laid out for years, and we go for this. Julius Caesar, more than 2,000 years ago, in replying to something Mark Anthony put to him, said this. He said, give them bread in circuses, or feed them and entertain them, and they won't care what we do.
That's true.
Anthony asked Caesar, he said, do you think they will go for you, the mob, the Roman mob, will accept you doing what you're doing? And Caesar said, they won't care if we give them bread and circuses.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, everybody is paying more attention to the latest movie, The Boys, Dancing with the Stars, the basketball game, what actually going to control whether they're employed 2 months from now.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so they certainly get fed. We've got a bad problem with people's health because they are drastically overfed, if the visual evidence is any clue. And it's like we have abdicated our responsibility as a citizenry to keep track of what's going on. And our net social media thing is, instead of being used for what it could be used for, is basically just an advanced gossip system.
Yeah.
So we don't really learn anything from it. We just put ignorance out there, and we attest to it, and people say, oh, I got 380 hits, or I've got 1,400 friends. and nobody's learned anything that's going to actually benefit them. And we're just distracted. We have this thing of not be what you should be, but be what you theoretically could be, even if that is destructive to everything else without any social conscience. Do what you want to do. Do your thing, but not do what you're supposed to do, and have duty, honor, obligation, responsibility, courtesy, enterprise, bravery, courage, mental, moral, and physical. We don't have that anymore. We're losing it. Let's put it that way. There are repositories, so I'm not going to down everybody, but we need to turn back the clock a bit.
Yes, I agree, sir. We have several callers on the line, and so I'm going to bring in Reverend Logan Dupree. Sir, are you there?
Yes. How you doing?
I'm good, sir. Do you do you have a question for Judge Joe?
I do. And, you know, based on your experience and obviously, I mean, the things that you have learned over the years of sitting on the court and dealing with families. Is there, Judge, any kind of curriculum that you know of that is available that can help to begin to address some of these situations?
There's no curriculum. It's a mindset.
Yeah.
In other words, I want to be a man, or the other side, I want to be a woman. And we don't have that. It's like I put to a lot of people this thing, and it's illustrative of the problem. I said, okay, it's 1,000 years ago. Here it can be in Africa, you can be in Europe, you can be in America. You're coming down the forest trail, and you've got an animal you just slew for the benefit of feeding your tribe or your village, and it's across your shoulders. As you round the bend, you become aware of a war party from a rival village or tribe that's gathered, ready to fall on your village and slaughter them. What do you do? Do you put yourself at risk and cry out to warn your people, take some action to defend them or keep them from being taken by surprise, or do you turn around and slink off?
Yes.
And I invariably get at least 50%. Well, you turn around, nobody's looking, right? Well, then you leave, sneak off, and save yourself. Nobody. But I said, don't you understand that the most important witness in the world saw this? Well, who's that?
You.
Well, what's that got to do with it? That doesn't bother you? You see, that kind of thing. Let somebody else do it, not me.
Yeah.
Mercy.
Yes. Gonna bring in Marcus, and then I'm also gonna bring in Miss Tina Hobson of Blog Talk Radio's I Am a Superwoman. She's gonna have some questions from people in Facebook chat room. Marcus, are you there? Hello, Marcus. Okay, we're gonna move along. Miss Tina Hobson of I Am a Superwoman, are you there?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Thank you, Robin Lynn, for having me here tonight.
Yeah, thank you for being here. I understand that there are some questions in the Facebook event chat room, and I believe you may have a question as well, correct?
Yes. Well, Judge Joe Brown, let me tell you how excited our Facebook listeners has been. They've been asking questions even before you came on the air, and that's very, very exciting to me. As Robin Lynn said, my name is Tina Hobson. I'm the host of I Am a Superwoman Radio that airs on Blog Talk Radio on Fridays. So I've got some of my followers who are already asking questions. And the first question, Judge Joe Brown, is, how is the morality of the black youth going to change?
Well, let me say this. Mothers, you have a job cut out for you to restore respect to the institution that you represent. Not all mothers, but some. And one of the most calming influences in human history is when somebody's mother or a lady walks into the room and guys may be cutting up, but they said, shh, man, quiet, man. Oh, God, dude's mother just walked in. Oh, there's a lady here, man. Be quiet. But when the boys who supposedly grow up to be men see cussing, drinking, drug use, inappropriate and violent behavior on behalf of their mothers, their neighbors, their aunts, grandparents, female family friends, that transcends the violence that they carry on, that certainly doesn't help. And we need to get away from this thing, particularly in the black community, if we think we are being a good parent because we got our kids a pair of $180 Air Jordan tennis shoes. Mm-hmm. When they're never going to be an athlete so they can look well, and we neglect to teach them those things that used to be, boy, don't do that. A man doesn't do that. Son, come over here. That's not what a man does. Boy, get up off the ground. You just scrape your knee. Man doesn't cry off of something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just be that constant repetition, or act like a young lady, girl. Women don't do that. Girls shouldn't act like that. A lady doesn't do that, young person. You know, we don't have that. And I got this thing in this 15-year show I did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why won't you? Well, I have a right to have fun and go out to parties. But you got four kids by three different babies' daddies. Nobody raped you. You chose to do this. That means it's your job to be a mother. Yep. You don't have the right to go off and party anymore. You've got kids, all of them under 10 years old. You're supposed to be at home. Well, I don't feel like staying at home and missing my fun. Well, that's too bad. You do. And guys, you don't want to get up and go to work or get a job, but you better, because you have obligations.
Yes.
And preachers, brethren, all of your pastors, start making some sermons in your churches about keep your legs closed. Start preaching some sermons about boys, get a job, respect your family, do that kind of thing. See, we get away from morality, and it's an important thing.
See. Yeah. Yes.
Hey. Good answer. Judge, we have two other questions here, and you kind of touched on the church thing. James Webb asked, what role can the church play? And then Patrice Jackson, she wants to know, what tips do you have for the community raising strong men and women? Women up too.
My grandfather was a bishop.
Mm-hmm.
He's been long dead. He made it to 101 years old. Mm-hmm. And my late uncle made it to 100, and he was a preacher too.
Okay.
I would say that the black church needs to stop diffusing the anger that their congregation has at their circumstances and encouraging it. Stop making it all right to have one more week of suffering at the hands of the system and make it so it becomes intolerable, and then guide what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Encourage and preach about the necessity of good parents and self-restraint. Also start preaching about the duty that every man has to protect his neighbor, his family, and his community. And as a community, we need to start understanding that the reason we have so many problems with the police is we aren't taking care of our own business of making where we live a safe, prosperous, and orderly place.
Yes.
So we fill out, we've got cars, and there's an intermingling now, so what we don't teach our kids impacts the rest of the neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
including the larger neighborhood of the city itself.
Mm-hmm.
What is going on is we have become, because of this problem with masculinity, that does not deal with the black community, but all of the communities, white or black, around the Western world. Our gangster hip-hop rap video has become almost required watching and listening for young males all over the world, whether they're Japanese, Italian, Australian, mm-hmm. or American.
Mm-hmm.
And I give you an anecdote. This was during the Olympics, and it's been 15 years ago. I was in Sydney, Australia for almost a month and a half. One Sunday, I was in downtown Sydney, and I heard some of the vilest American rap being played at 200 amps coming out of a red Toyota Celica with the license plates vibrating badly. And the car stopped. Four kids got out, three white, one black. They had the baseball caps with the flat brims turned at the misdemeanor or felony angles, the sagged and bagged pants, baggy shirts, and they looked like they were trying to be thugs. Well, my companion and I were saying, what stupid American rented this Toyota for his child to act like he's trying to be a thug over here in Sydney? Well, this guy comes out and says, hey, Tommy Martin, get out of the meat of 50 blood for a horse tonight. They're Australian. It's infectious.
Yes.
And it's catchy. And I went into a club that they had for people staying with this crew. And there are some Aboriginals in there. And me, I'm the only somebody that is of African-American. And the guy on the stage says, aye, that's Carl, that's my ma, he's mine, and he used the N-word. And I said, oh, man, wow, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And about 5 years ago, I was in Florence, Firenze, they call it in Italia, and I go to a nightclub there, and the same thing, it's my, and he's not, that's Australian, he said, hey, signore, and he's my negros, and I said, good gracious. See, it's spreading because around the rest of the world, we don't have anything that's masculine for these boys. Oh, by the way, a lot of women get mad at this gangster rap video about this sexual imagery and dominance and all this stuff and sexual fantasy. FYI, it's not a sexual fantasy. What you're looking at is a rapper with street creds, mama, grandmama, and favorite aunts.
Yes.
And you'd believe that if you went to the housing project or certain Section 8 areas in July, and mama with her two sisters and five girlfriends would be sitting out back with a 40 ounce in one hand, a cigarette in another, and a bunch of little kids, 3, 4, 5 years old, running around unsupervised, and she's got on some tight, what they call booty shorts, and a little halter. And she's trying to get somebody to get her pregnant again to get a bigger check. Yeah. I had a case like that about 12 years ago, and I'm not going to mention the name because this person is not an established rapper, but he's 17 at the time, so his mother and grandmother show up as his next best friend. Well, he's 17, so his mother is causing a problem for us because she's got on this little bitty rap split dress and a little halter, and she's 8 months pregnant. She doesn't want to cover up, so I frankly wouldn't let her on until she let wardrobe put on a dress. So grandmother was similarly scantily clad, but she put on a dress. Now, grandmother had had her 15th child 4 months before we taped them. And the mother was pregnant with her 9th child. Now, get this, the boy is 17. Mother was all of 29 years old, and her son 17. And the grandmother was all of 43 years old. And the mother was her second oldest child. So, you know, what you see is June Cleaver.
Yes.
Not a sexual fantasy. So it is very bad. We've got to do some things about readapting. And I know we like to watch Empire, and we like to watch Atlanta Housewives and all of this Tyler Perry thing with what's this Madea and all of this. And all this, what is glorification of dysfunction. And what happens is that becomes the imagery for the young black women as they grow up. It becomes the acceptable model. And some of the stuff's interesting, but basically what these kids are getting shown is irresponsible. People die, but it's about nothing. There's no principle. No, you have to go out and do this, do that, and everything else is all about being fuzzy-feely and things are out of control.
Mm.
And the question I ask for the ladies is, it's 2:17 a.m. in the morning, and you have done well. You've got 2 degrees, you just finished your master's, you got a promotion at work, you're making good money, you just got yourself a new 550 Mercedes that's out in the garage or the carport, and you hear glass breaking downstairs. Wouldn't you rather have a man around to go send down to deal with
mm-hmm.
it? But wouldn't it be nice to have that man as a productive member of society instead of a drone?
Yeah.
Now, I was in the airport lounge in Detroit a few years back, and I was reading this article in Ebony Magazine written by a black female PhD, and it was talking about how much fun it is to have a thug. They don't work, so they're totally dependent upon the woman, and they can have the thrill of raw masculinity, but it said, girls, remember, you write the check, so you control the action. Tell all of your friends how much fun it is to have a thug. Now, a few years back, I would be on radio stations all around the country and tour, and it would be something like, this is Bobby on WFOOL. I want you to call in and tell me if you got a thug. This is Take Care of Your Thug Week. Bobby, this you, Bobby? Tamika, you on the air. Am I really on the air? Bobby, you on the air, Tamika? Do you have a thug? Yeah, baby, I got me a thug. He looks like Denzel. Ooh, girl. We so fine. All my friend girls, they just Jay. He take care of me. He make me feel so smooth. I come home from working hard, and he make me feel like it's all right. You let him work? No, Bobby, I don't let him work. I want him at home, all rested up, ready for me. Okay, we got another call. Lucille. This you, Lucille? Hey, Bobby, this Lucille. I'm white, but I like speaking to thug, too. They so exciting.
That's what he said.
See, where did we get into this?
I don't even know,
well,
Judge.
I might take a whole nother show, but I would say this. Through the church is importantly, we can start getting people focused.
Yes.
Because
right.
in times when things don't look like they're going right, people call out to something. But too often the message in the church is we just have a party going
Come
here
on,
and with Jesus as the invited guest.
Yes.
Relying on Jesus to get people inspired to do the right thing. We
mm-hmm.
don't have any thunderous sermons on morality anymore.
That's it.
We talk about how we are suffering, how Jesus will let us suffer better and make us feel okay, not inspire us to go out and change the situation. We invite politicians into our churches knowing nothing about them other than that they made a large donation or somebody
Amen.
That seemed to be okay.
Yes,
they
yes.
don't want to bring them in there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Miss Tina, I want to thank you for filling in the chat rooms for us and asking the questions. I'm going to move on to some more callers. And the next callers that I bring on, I will unmute you and ask a quick question, and then we're going to have Judge Joe come back and discuss some of the resources and tools that can be used to man up. Area code 832, the last four is 0240. Are you there?
Well, good evening, Robin Lynn. How are you today?
I'm good. Do you have a question for Judge Joe?
Yeah, this is Warren Houston of Know Thyself Radio and the People's Law Study Group. My question for Judge Joe Brown is, do he do speaking engagements? And if so, how can he be reached?
Okay, I do speaking engagements. And I will give you a number that you can call to reach me. And let me bring that up. It will be my office where they handle these things. So, let's see. I get old. I can't memorize all of these things anymore like I used to. Let's see. All right. Okay.
I'll let you give that number out towards the end. I want to make sure that everyone has an opportunity to ask a question. Area code 216.
Okay.
9714. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Good evening.
Do you have a question for Judge Joe?
Enjoying the program. Judge Brown, what are your feelings about the current going-ons in Baltimore? And I know it's not limited to Baltimore, but just real quickly, this may not be the main topic, but I just wanted to get a little bit of your perspective on the things that's happening there. Thank you, sir.
I'm a little surprised and indeed embarrassed that it's taken so long for some of the inner city populations to get tired of what's happening. Basically, it's a political problem. We got the vote. We have the opportunity. We have the majorities. We just don't do anything with them. We don't come out and vote. We don't pay any attention to what's happening. And, like, look at Ferguson. You got 78% of the city or the municipality is African American. They only have 2 out of the 58 cops are black. They've got 2 out of 16 elected officials or appointed officials black. And since all of this has happened, we don't even have 150 new registered voters in the area.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that's lethargy on behalf of the citizenry. Baltimore, yeah, it's bad. It's bad here in Memphis. And the truth of the matter is there are 200 or 300 of these incidents every month at the minimum. And the ones that we get upset about just happen to be the ones that on a slow news day when there was no international event going on, mm-hmm. the media, CNN, or somebody decided that, oh, this looks interesting, let's boost ratings on a slow day, and then they play it for all it's worth.
Mm-hmm.
The ratings go up, the advertisers and sponsors are happy, and we get all riled up and nobody gives us the real deal. Like, for example, the Trayvon Martin Zimmerman thing. Mm-hmm. We heard a whole lot from Anderson Cooper
yep.
on CNN talking about castle doctrine and no retreat. It's got to be changed. Well, first off, the castle doctrine is irrelevant because that only deals with a person's home. And the no retreat doctrine, it wasn't Zimmerman. The one that had the right to no retreat was dead Trayvon Martin.
Mm-hmm.
And the news media never even tried to understand what was going on because they're talking about Zimmerman saying he feared for his life when Trayvon was beating his head into the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the truth of the matter is as per Zimmerman's statement, when Trayvon saw he had the gun and was beating his head on the sidewalk, Trayvon had an absolute right to kill him because mm-hmm. he was in jeopardy of suffering serious bodily injury or death.
Yes.
What usually would have happened in 99 out of 100 times, Trayvon would have been on trial for murdering right. Zimmerman with a self-defense theory.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't get any adequate coverage of these kind of things. We didn't get coverage of the fact Zimmerman was a Cubano, and in that part of Florida, there is a huge problem with Cuban gangs targeting young African Americans as objects of violence, as initiations.
Mm-hmm.
Or vice versa. So we got no coverage. It was just sensationalized. The same thing with Baltimore. Mm-hmm. People just got tired of it. We've been in a depression, which by all of the legislative indicia from 1934 and 5, it's a depression. They're trying to hide it out and say it's a recession. Mm-hmm. Why? They say it's not a depression because Wall Street has recovered. Well,
mm-hmm.
the people who are responsible that we elect to go to D.C. have not kept these financial entities from changing the stock market from buying a piece of the rock where you can live off of the dividend income to something where you get very little dividend income, but you get a high-priced gambling chip that you can play stock market poker or casino baccarat or whatever you're playing
yeah.
or shooting craps with.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, and like, for example, I would have expected in 2008 when our current president took office for there to have been about 50,000 pages of proposed legislation to put people back to work, to reform the investment banking industry so that they had to have money to back up their accounts. Right now, they still don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they've got on their, Goldman Sachs on their books has 11 times more money than actually exists, and they have no cash to back it up, none. You can't even cash one of their own checks in one of their banks. You have to deposit in your own and get credit.
Wow.
Nothing's been done with that. We've got Geithner, who was the guy that came up with the bundle mortgage thing.
Mm-hmm.
Geithner, who was the consultant to Goldman Sachs, who came up with the loophole that allowed them to do that with no money back into their accounts. We've got him as Treasury Secretary. And you see, the bailout bill under Bush was $700 billion. The incentive program under Obama, drafted by Geithner, $781 billion, is the single largest expenditure in the history of the United States of America. And nobody squawked about it. And the reason they had it is so the credit of the United States could be behind Goldman Sachs, Smith, Barney, etc., to keep a worldwide economic disaster from occurring if their computers went down for 2 or 3 hours.
Yes.
And we have a bankrupt international policy we aren't advised of, because the only reason we can do that is, guess what? The People's Republic of China is backing the U.S. government's currency.
Yes.
If it weren't for them, our money wouldn't be worth anything.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a real bad situation. And the solution to a bad problem is to borrow more money from the People's Republic. But you see, where that comes into the man-up thing is there's no critical analysis of policy. It's all about feelings and who's doing what with their dog, what are the daughters doing, did somebody deal with somebody over there who upset somebody's feelings, instead of getting down and being critical, where your news media has gotten rid of the masculine componentry and you're looking at somebody who no way, no how, looks like he could be a reporter in the field, but he wears his makeup well, and he's a talking head, and he reads lines on a prompter well, and you're about entertainment instead of advisement on reality. We don't want good, hard, cold analysis. We want something that excites us or is entertaining.
Yes, yes.
That's not a masculine thing.
Yes. The phone lines are lit up, but we're not going to be able to get to everyone. I apologize for that. We might have to have you come back again for another turn on this, sir. You mentioned the Man Up campaign. I'd like for you to tell us more about that and give us some details about where people can read more or even sign up and become a part of this campaign.
Okay, if I would be in charge of giving some people a clue, I would say read stuff about men that's at least 50 years old.
Okay.
And see how it's done. Read some of the autobiographies of the men who've made a difference and see how it's done.
Okay.
One of our problems is that the U.S. is relatively safe. It's an enclave where too many people don't have a living memory of what men used to do.
Mm-hmm.
See, I always say this: men are to provide guidance and women are to provide advisement. Men are basically expendable, whereas women and children are a resource.
Mm-hmm.
And we have gotten away from that.
Mm-hmm.
So men need to be men by being raised in a tough fashion as boys. We're too easy on the boys. We're too nice. We want to love them too much, and that doesn't work. Remember, we were the hunters that when we had a barbecue in the high summer and we invited guests, the guests would go out with the invitees or by the host, and they'd take sticks with stones on the end, and they'd bring down a 16,000-pound mammoth to be the center object on the barbecue. And as soon as the barbecue was much over, it'd be really frozen up during an ice age. So that's what we are. But we seem to want everybody to be so sweet and gentle, and we don't want our boys to be tough. So the boys are going to be tough. And if you try to hide that beast that's inside of them from them, then it comes out crazy, and they kill off a playground full of kids because nobody taught them to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
So parenting is a task and an obligation. It's not something you do just to be trendy. Mm-hmm. So we've got to take the churches, which are the main forums in the African American community, and start getting them to get that message out.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a parent, Jesus is not going to like you
if you don't act like a parent.
Mm-hmm.
You see, we've gotten away from deed-oriented salvation.
Okay.
In other words, you get evaluated for your sins, and we get off into this thing that all you have to do is believe, and you're guaranteed admission to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
The belief comes first, and it orients, and it causes compliance with the message, which
Amen.
Is, I've got something I got to do, and I have
That's
to,
right.
quote, atone for my sins,
That's
but
That's
we
it.
Don't atone. We just believe more.
Yes.
And it's okay. I've heard sermons where they say it's all right to be a thief, a murderer, a drug dealer, a pimp, a prostitute. And what's going on, as long as you believe you're going to get to heaven.
What?
Quite. But, you know, we have to spread the message. It's your obligation to make these boys tough. Get them involved in a scouting program.
Yes.
Get them involved in some after-school athletics. Get them into a martial arts course where the sensei or the instructor is teaching them about, you know, these important principles of self-control. You see, we give them independence in a structured fashion. Pay attention to what's going on.
Yes.
Grow up when you're trying to get them to do tasks and chores, show them how to do it.
Hmm.
When I was a scoutmaster, I used to have these functions where I'd get 150 boys at one of these scout camps and invite the mothers down, and they would all be talking about how out of control their kids were and they couldn't do anything with them. And I said, all right, tell you what, see those benches over there under the shade, go over there and sit down. But I don't know, let's go over there. But they might hurt them. Let's go over there and get out of my way for an hour and a half or 2 hours. I'll send somebody to get you.
Yes.
And you think what they're characterizing as an unruly child that you can't do anything with. And when they come back 2 hours later, the kids stink.
Yeah.
Standing at attention, yes, sir, no, sir.
There you go.
How did you get him to do that? He's a man child.
Yes.
He's a man puppy, and he's going to grow up into being a man wolf, but he wants to know how, so you have to give him something to emulate, to copy. Show him what a man does.
Good. Yes.
Demand it of him, and then he will be happy to comply.
Very.
You know, like kids used play cops and robbers, cowboys and Indians and soldier and all of this stuff.
Yep.
I guess that got out the way because it was bad for the boys to be taught these violent type things when they were growing up.
Yes.
Society, we have got into Spockism and we don't do that. But when you do it, they respond to it.
Yeah.
I used to go at first projects in Memphis. It's 1-2 o'clock in the morning. I get challenged 3 or 4 times, but you got to show you can hang.
That's it.
But by the time the sun came up, I've got 30 some kids hanging around me trying to figure out, do they understand my message about manhood?
Yeah.
You have to have a purpose. We are in a situation in the inner city where there's a lot of bleakness. And see, you hear it all the time. There's no daylight at the end of the tunnel. But if you give him the sense that his most important task is to be a man, every time he looks in the mirror,
yes.
he sees the purpose, and he can tolerate this darkness and keep pushing and make daylight at the end of the tunnel.
Yes.
I call it drive-by shooting. That's suicide. They don't have the nerve to put a pistol to their own head, so they'll provoke somebody into doing them the favor of killing them so they can get out of it. Drugs are not about high and high, it's about trying to die. Man, you hear about, well, on the good side, it'd go this way. Oh, I said, did you hear about Thomas last week? No, what happened? Oh, my God, you know how he was walking around talking about he had no purpose? He jumped out of his father's 28th floor of his office building and killed himself. Oh, no, how tragic. We had this thing, man, you hear about Storm, man? No, man, what happened? Oh, man, we was over with blows, man. We had some fast smoke up in there, man. We was hitting that pipe, man. All of a sudden, stomped down on the floor, man. Spit coming all out his mouth, man. You know, we called 911, but it's too late, man. He got his heart bust out before they get him to the emergency room, man. Oh, man, it's cold-blooded, man. I feel for his mama. Ain't that the second one she done lost this year?
Mm-hmm.
See, that's not about you. High, that's about you trying to die because you have no life in front of you.
Yes.
Nobody held you to any standard. You have no discipline, no self-control. You don't know what you are. Everything that's okay, you have been turned against because you see it exploited.
Yes, yes.
Well, yeah, men, it's not only just the man's responsibility to man these boys up, it's the mother's responsibility to put it in the boy's head that he needs to be a man and there's certain things he's supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And then the boy must put it in his soul to acquire these things, and the men must be willing and readily able mm-hmm. and available to teach them to him.
Yes, yes, that's right.
Coordinate that through our churches.
Yes. Yeah. Judge,
I would just impose him on the church level, on a national level, to start putting that into the minds of the bishops so mm-hmm. they can spread it to the preachers, and then that can get to the community that they serve. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. Judge Joe Brown, I really want to thank you for coming on today. We're going to have to bring you back for a part two and maybe even a part three. This is really, really big. And I'm going to bring in Marcus. Marcus, are you there? I want you to bring us on home, Marcus.
I'm here. Once again, Judge Joe Brown, we really, really appreciate all of your assistance with this. We hope that the reason we do this is we want to make a change for everybody. We want people to listen, hear these words, and make changes. And we've been always trying to do this here at Family in Distress, and with you speaking today, we feel that we can take that to another level. So from us, all Family in Distress, we'd like to thank you. We hope to hear you again. We'd like to thank all the listeners for being on this phone call. Understand that we are here to help. Judge Joe Brown has made very, very good points about educating our youth, about getting them out of this mindset and changing the way they need to think. And that's exactly what we're here at Family in Distress to do. So, thank Robin. I'd like to thank all the callers. I'd like to thank everybody that's listening. We'll have another page of this next week, Wednesday, 6 to 7. Everybody have a good night. Thanks again, Joe Brown.
All right.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you.
Yes, so that's going to wrap it up for this week's episode of Family in Distress, Man Up with Judge Joe Brown. We're going to go right over into our Bible study line. You're welcome to join us, sir, and that number is 712-432-0700, and the PIN is 970-516-POUND. And our guest speaker tonight is Reverend Logan Dupree. And so everyone be sure and call in. I'll give the number again, 712-432-0700. Thank you, Judge.
And I'll give you an email that you can contact if you need speaking. Now, there is a fee. We have to cover our expenses.
All right,
so
sir.
If you want that. JJINC 3130 at sbcglobal.net. JJINC 3130 at sbcglobal, GLOBAL.net.
All right, sir. We thank you again very much, and we'll see everyone on Bible study.
I'll have to go back to work on an appeal I have volunteered to do.
All right, sir.
All right.
All right, sir. Thank you so much.
Have a good day.
All right. Bye-bye.